Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 118 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on the listener-supported Head-On Radio Network. Also brought to you by Coal River Mountain Watch over at CRMW.net. And we are happy to have their support. It's a fine organization. That's CRMW.net. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Tuesday, February 26th of 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m., approximately 9.02 p.m., Eastern Time, you are listening to a live show, and you are welcome to call in and participate. We'll talk about what's on your mind and what's coming up on the show. I'll give you the phone numbers in just a moment. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests as well as to the audio archives from past shows. You'll find links to the chat room, which is active as I speak. Some of the world's smartest people are in that chat room, and the find links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com to the Head-On Radio Network main site, and you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the Head-On Radio Network, of which I am only a very small part. You'll find links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com to our MySpace page, more information about the show, and links to help you locate music that you hear on the show. The toll-free lines are 877, the number 4, Head-On. That translates into 877-443-2366. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. We are listener-supported. That would be area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333. And it rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I do try to check the email during the breaks, and you can communicate with me that way, or by telephone, or by joining us in chat. We are all there waiting for you to arrive. It's an integral part of the network. If you're missing chat, you're indeed missing the visual aids for the Head-On Radio Network. You're indeed missing the visual aids. You know, what a remarkable night. Bob's show just preceded this. And we had a new caller, first-time caller. His name was John. And John is, in fact, like so many of our listeners, an articulate and very bright person and involved in higher mathematics. You got to love and be proud of a network, to be associated with a network like this that attracts listeners and callers like that. Well, it just never ceases to amaze me. I couldn't be prouder to be a part of this network. We also had a new chatter this evening. Who is who streams this show, the Strictly Confidential Radio show. Apparently he streams that via the archives and listens to it as a podcast during his commute in his car. So we're always glad to have new folks join us here, and what a privilege it is. Speaking of folks joining us here, I have a little thing I was going to do later on, but I'll tell you about it now. Here we go. This is posted on the Blairco Project today. Since it's posted there, I can go ahead and let it out. We've been working with Blairco Project, which is one of the major LGBT blogs. That's BlairicoProject.com. That's B-I-L-E-R-I-C-O, Blairco Project, or actually just Blairico.com. At least I'm fairly sure that word project is in there. I should have written it down. But in any case, we've been working with them regarding the Blairco Minute. We're going to be partnering with them, and Blairco is going to be sending in a recorded show segment to be run during the week, maybe two or three radio segments per week. We're calling it the Blairco Minute, but it actually could be the Blairco 2 minutes or the Blairco 2.45 minutes, however we do it. So they are mentioning it on their website today, and they're going to be featuring good old-fashioned rants by Bill and other contributors in the roundup of it's one of the very best LGBT blogs on the Internet, and we'll be glad to have them aboard. We are looking at that, I believe, in the fairly near future, so I wanted to let you know that, and thank you, Bill Browning, over at Blairco Project, for including us there. Lord, Lord, after last night's show, I've got to tell you, that letter is that we read from the kid in Iran, it was very disturbing. It was very difficult to get through. And now, we're not going to be quite that heavy tonight, but we do have some rants and raves and things to talk about nonetheless. By the way, our Gay Bar Across the Street segment, which runs during the last half hour of Strictly Confidential, tonight's DJ at the Gay Bar Across the Street, which sometimes is called God's Little Gay Bar and is sometimes called the Paradise Dance Hall, that is Jerry Bonham. And Jerry will be bringing us a mix set from the Trocadero Transfer that occurred in 2007. There was the 30th anniversary of the Trocadero Transfer, the Pearl anniversary. We'll also be featuring a couple of go-to-break tracks from our friend Larry Sanders. I'm reading too many pieces of paper at once. Sorry, Larry. Larry Sanders, we have Go Don't Cry For Me Argentina, a beautiful remix, and I'll be there for you. Another beautiful remix. Bob sent me some news late in the day, about a couple hours before the show came on, regarding Karl Rove and the Bush Library, which, as you all know, is one of my hot buttons. For those of you who may not know, the George Bush Library, the Presidential Library, they are looking to locate that at Southern Methodist University campus, which I think will tarnish the Methodist name for centuries to come. And even worse than that, along with this library, which will no doubt house a copy of My Pet Goat, and very little else, since the Bush administration has complete control, and even its the future generations of Bushies, the Bush twins, no, I won't say that. I'm going to say something awful about them. No, I need not say anything awful about the Bush twins. I'm sure you regard them in the same high esteem that I do. And in any case, there will be control from the Bush family regarding any papers that are presented in this library forever, if they have their way about it. In other words, it's complete control. And another effort to rewrite history, and there will be a partisan think tank located there that is fully going to use the Southern Methodist University's name, or at least perhaps if this goes through. I'll tell you more about that in a minute, but basically have no control by Southern Methodist University. Those of you who are new to the show, the reason I bring all this up is I grew up in Methodist Church, so I'm a little bit disgusted by this. The media we all know how the Bush administration rewrites history on the fly. Normally it's rewritten after the fact. In this case, they're trying a slightly new tactic. They're rewriting history before the fact. It's been released to the media that the Southern Methodist University in Dallas is a done deal, and it's signed, sealed, delivered. The George W. Bush Presidential Library and partisan Republican think tank to polish up George's image. They're saying that that now, the way it's being phrased is that now all of the faculty and the students are suddenly complaining and as if they didn't know about this for years. Of course, this is a complete lie. Karl Rove has been in charge of setting this library up since approximately 2002. And they have put off announcing where it was going to be located, or who they were. They were torn between, I believe it was Baylor and SMU. They pretty much said they were choosing SMU, but they have been very reluctant to actually publicly state it because of the fact they knew that all hell would break loose. And in fact, it is within the Methodist Church. The fear amongst the the students and the academics folks there is that the Presidential Foundation and Karl Rove are going to be, as I said, damaging the reputation. Karl Rove is acting the fellow Mark Langdale, and he is president of the Bush Library Foundation, has said that Karl Rove is acting on the project in an informal capacity, and also said that Rove is a critical resource about what happened in the administration. Well, yes, he certainly does know what happened in the administration. It's very unlikely we'll ever hear it. the quote goes on to say that Karl Rove's pretty busy doing a lot of things in his private life now. Yeah, like setting up the Bush Library, which is job one. And they repeat the fact that he's a critical resource and that he has lots of good ideas about programming and positioning. Yes, he has lots of good ideas, has for a long time. If you've ever seen the movie Bush's Brain, you'll completely understand what I'm getting at. Langdell said that Rove emailed him just the other day with suggestions about the size of the auditorium for the complex. Yes, Rove is actually involved in the actual square footage, the layout, the architecture. He is the library incarnate. They're saying that after the fact, after the formal agreement, which, by the way, is not formal at this point, but they're saying it is. You see, they're saying it's a formal agreement ahead of the fact so that it will minimize any impact that, you see, the Southern Methodist Convention will be having annual or biannual meeting in Texas in just a few months. And actually, the delegates there have the last say on whether this library deal goes through. However, it's being presented to the media that it is a done deal so that they can, in fact, pave their way right over that in fact, bulldoze their way through. The Southern Methodist University has been very disgusted with this all-or-nothing thing about the Bush Library and the think tank located together. You see, it's unprecedented. This has never been done before, and in conjunction with but you see, Bush will need a full-blown partisan think tank to polish his image after what he's done to this country. Now, of course, there will be a single Southern Methodist University staffer. I'll read that one of the regents of the university. But you see, the university, the Bush Library gets to pick that person, hand-pick them. They're not appointed by the Methodist University. They're hand-picked by the Bush administration, which means their position, of course, is meaningless. The library looks like it's going to cost $500 million. At least that's what they're shooting for. If it's anything like George Daddy's library, of course, that means that much of it will be funded by the Saudis. That's been said by a fellow named Benjamin Huffbauer, who's the professor of art and history at the University of Louisville and also author of Presidential Temples, How Memorials and Libraries Shape Public Policy. He is saying that the model that Southern Methodist University has agreed to is totally different from any other approach, from any other presidential library that has ever existed. Can you say signing statement? He also goes on to say that academics everywhere should be concerned about this. Clearly, this goes against the idea of a dispassionate inquiry of looking at things on the basis of fact and merit, which is, of course, what the Bush administration is heavily skilled as, heavily skilled at not looking at fact or merit. He goes on to say, Benjamin also goes on to say, if it's ideological, it's opposed to the mission of any university. So anyway, this remains, don't believe everything you read. This is actually not over yet. We'll know in March or so. To hang the reputation of the Methodist Church, which is by and large always represented truth and justice, with the exception of some congregations, which are fairly heavily influenced by the Baptists, has always been a truth and justice organization. For them to tarnish their name, for them to stoop low enough to pick this, shouldn't say that, to pick George Bush up, never ceases to amaze me. Thank you, Bob, for sending that in. We'll need to have Andrew back. He was our guest. He's one of the lead persons regarding the Southern Methodist University petition. You can find his interview and a link to sign the petition at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. And I believe he was earlier this month or in January. By the way, as a follow-up to the story that we did here regarding the FBI spying on your computer, I wanted to pass on the fact to you that it's really not as difficult as it sounds. IBM released findings of their 2007 X-Force security report detailing a disturbing rise in the sophistication of attacks by criminals on web browsers. This is happening worldwide. According to IBM, attacks on browsers of individual computer users by cyber criminals are stealing identities, controlling computers at rates that have never before been seen on the Internet. So you can be sure if your computer has one of these things, it probably has a copy of the FBI's reporting software, along with the people who are trying to get your bank account numbers. It's not that easy, it's an easy thing to happen. It's not easy to spot always, but it's an easy thing to happen. The study finds that the criminal element has become more complex and sophisticated. Underground brokers are delivering various tools to camouflage the attacks on various browsers. And cyber criminals often detect or can avoid detection by security software, including the FBI. The X-Force from IBM also believes that 2008-2009 will be far worse, and points out the storm worm that hit. There's a 30% rise in the number of malcode samples identified, and storm worm was a huge one back in 2007 last year. And as the number of vulnerabilities rise and the people who don't patch their computers and continue blithely along, don't be surprised. We did a story the other evening about the Iranian fellow who was writing. He was very desperate. A very disturbing story. It was difficult to get through. There's additional information, not about him, but about another gay teenager. The person who wrote the letter the other evening was also a teenager. He's also from Iran. We did a story about him a while back. He was being deported from the Netherlands back to the United Kingdom. You see, he had filed in the United Kingdom for asylum because he is at the threat of being stoned to death if he's returned to Iran because of the fact he is a gay man. And the appeals process in the United Kingdom wasn't going well, and his visa basically expired, and he fled to the Netherlands. So it looks like they are going to export him back to the United Kingdom based on the fact that it is illegal to file for asylum in two countries under the European Union there. The Democratic Party has written to the House Secretary to request they urgently review his case. He's only 19 years old, because it has been made very clear that he will be stoned to death should he return to Iran. There is a real threat here. And it goes on to talk about the fact that the United Kingdom considers itself a progressive country that stands up for human rights, that it simply goes against everything they stand for to return this boy to the United Kingdom. You see, what happened is after he had an educational visa to come to the United Kingdom, he was continuing his studies. He had a boyfriend left behind in Iran, and his boyfriend was rounded up like so many others are being there, and perhaps his ex-boyfriend, not sure. In any case, they tortured him and beat him. And eventually he told them about 19-year-old kid in the United Kingdom. He had to tell them anyone he had ever known who was an LGBT person. So in any case, that's how the Iran government found out who he was. And, if England does in fact live in a modern and liberal society, and, are they willing to send asylum seekers back to face stoning purely because of their sexuality, that is not a good thing. It's feared that when he is returned to the United Kingdom, he'll be forced back almost immediately. By the way, he left Iran in 2004. He knows that the information went to the Iran police force because his uncle told him. His uncle told him that his boyfriend had been, in fact, put to death after he was tortured and gave up his name. So as the European governments claim to be champions of human rights and democracy, and they continue to condemn Iran for frequently violating human rights. Well, they need to reassess this situation. You know, God bless the kid. It's got to be horrifying to be 19 years old and faced with being returned to a country that you know the first thing that's going to happen when you step off the plane are the burns with the cigarettes and the slapping around and the 100 lashes or more that take place in public. It's a very disturbing what's happening over there. Oh, this one I had to laugh at. A counselor from Focus on the Family warns that a 12-year-old girl from Powell, Tennessee, may be scarred for life after mistakenly opening a gay porn mailer addressed to her father. Well, of course, I don't encourage 12-year-old little girls for looking at gay porn mailers. And in fact, the company that sent the mailer did violate the law because they did not put on the outside of the envelope that it was sexually explicit material contained. And the little girl thought it was... the envelope on the outside promoted a free DVD that was inside. And she thought it was a Disney mailer. The kid just, no, DVD, it must be from Disney. And she opened it right up. And there were pictures of nude men and the DVD. And the little girl went running to her father when she opened the envelope. Of course, Focus on the Family, family news in Focus from the Focus on the Family group said they were frightened gas. You know, they're exaggerating this completely. But which is really not the point of the story. What the point of the story is the fact that Daddy is saying, "Oh no, 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 no! I have never been to this company's website. I have never requested any." Mailers from them. This is sort of like the Larry Craig defense. I'm not gay. I did not order this porn. Well, I got to tell you, I'm a gay man. I'm 54 years old, and in my entire life, I have never received a mailer from any pornography house with naked men in it. And I can pretty much guarantee you for a fact that you have to request that sort of thing before you go onto a mailing list. This isn't like the Betty Crocker mailing list. These companies are fairly certain about who they are sending this stuff to avoid situations pretty much just like this. And so Daddy got caught. A new, as I said, free DVD. She thought it was a Disney movie, as I said. She ran to her father to show him what she had found, and she was shocked and disgusted. He was shocked and disgusted and enraged. Morality in Media, this is one of the right-wing organizations, says it's fine for adults, but they have violated the law. There was no warning on the outside of the envelope. Not that the little girl would have minded it. But what's so funny here is Daddy screaming so loudly, "Oh, no, 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 I did not go to that website. I did not order this stuff. I didn't. I swear I didn't." By the way, I'm working on getting a guest here over the next couple of weeks, and she is from the website. She runs the website www.gayhusbands.com, and she is a PhD, a master's in education. Her name is Bonnie Kay, and she counsels women whose husbands turn out to actually be homosexuals, and I think it would be an interesting discussion to have her on the show. It's interesting, Pam Spaulding is bringing up this topic too over at Pam's House Blend approximately the same time I was looking to interview. Pam's talking about a different person. We're talking about two different people, but it's interesting this is coming up. In Pam's report, there's an estimate that 1.5 million to 2.9 million American women who have ever been married have had a husband who had sex with other men. Whether that was before the fact or during the fact, like so many Republicans. And it means, of course, there are a large number of women who have no idea what their husbands do in secret. Example, Larry Craig and so many others. In fact, when I was a young man. I think I was about 20 or so. I remember this very clearly. Myself and a heterosexual woman, we were good friends, went to a woman's house whose husband had just left her because he left her for a man. And of course, it was devastating to see that. The woman was racked with pain and loss. And women, you know, often have no understanding of this. You know, as very few people do, they often think that they caused their husbands to become that way. This is, of course, absolutely not true. And it was a difficult evening visiting with her. There was no consoling her. I guess I went along as the representative gay man, and my friend Edna, that was her name, she went along as the representative heterosexual woman, and we tried. But in any case, this I'm looking forward to having Bonnie on the show. There's no date set. She's recently written a book, by the way, called How I Made My Husband Gay, Myths About Straight Wives. So that's, how did that come up? Well, it came up with the little girl who opened Daddy's pornography that Daddy did not order and did not go to that website. He's making that very clear. You just have to laugh. What was the figure we just quoted? 1.9, 1.7 to 2.9 million women have been married to gay men. You know, this is entirely the fault of the religion industry and some men wanting to have it both ways. You know, I want the respect of Hamlet being married and having a family, but I want my men too. Yes, disgusting situation. One day the world will be a better place for all of us to live. At least I sincerely hope that it will. So when we are able to get her on the show, and again, her website is gayhusbands.com, we will be talking with her about situations like the 12-year-old girl from Powell, Tennessee, who opened up Daddy's porn, who he did not order, and he did not. Did I make that clear? He did not order it, and he did not go to that website. I just need you to be absolutely sure that you know that. Larry Craig is running. It's actually sending out mailers, and it's proudly posted on his website. You remember Toe Tap and Larry? It's a monumental opportunity, kids. My Washington, D.C. office needs interns who are hardworking, independent, and resourceful team players who share my political... Oh, deliver me. Who share my political philosophy, which includes airport sex, and confessing to it, and then saying, I'm not gay. He says, most of the interns I have had the honor of working with in my office have moved on to much greater things, like maybe tap dancing in the movies, from leaders in all facets of government to significant players in the private sector. It's my genuine hope that each intern in my office will gain insight into his or her career path, as I did interning for Idaho Congressman Orville Hansen. I'm sure that Orville, if Orville's still alive, is disturbed to see that. Larry Craig is referring to him on his website. The actual letter reads, I'm glad to know I'm in a position to provide life-changing experiences to the youth of Idaho by offering the opportunity to work in my Washington, D.C. office. This legislative internship typically lasts one semester and may include experience in everything from data entry to writing actual legislation to covering up for me in the airport. As rather than assigning menial tasks, I prefer to offer more diverse experiences, possibly because I walked in their shoes back in 1969. Why does the man continue? Weren't their shoes black? I think so. So each intern is expected to pull his or her weight as far as photocopying and sorting mail is concerned. In other words, it really is just office drudge, not the glorified assistant that he is pointing out. My Washington office offers this primarily to Idaho youth, but if they can't find any youth for him to warp in Idaho. They will take it from any state they can get their hands on. And it's about 9:32. We'll probably get a break back. When we come back from break, by the way, we're going to do a Mike Huckabee endorses eggs as a person. That's right. An egg has the full rights of a real live walking around human being. Does an egg have a right to sue? And so as we go to break tonight, we thank Larry Sanders for the Go to Break track. This is by Prima, and it comes from the United Kingdom, and it is a stunning version of Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. And we're back from the bottom of the hour break. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877-443-2366. I am indeed Peter Godbold, and you're listening to Strictly Confidential, the LGBT version of Conversation Radio. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that. You'll save the studio a nickel or a buck. We are, in fact, listener-supported, and every bit helps. That is area code 304-658-3333. It rings in good old West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And if you'll stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com, you'll find a link there to head right on into the chat room, which is active as I speak. Thank you, Larry, for that beautiful version of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. I happen to have always loved that song. But then again, it is a wonderful song. You know, before we get into Huckabee endorsing a fertilized egg as a person, the other evening we talked about the fact that in Israel they're saying we cause earthquakes. You know, the LGBT community has so many magical powers that I'm beginning to run out of notes on my little notepad about all of the powers that I do in fact have. I have the power to bring hurricanes into New Orleans that somehow managed to miss the French Quarter and destroy so many others. You see, the hurricane was supposed to hit the French Quarter, according to the right. We have the power to cause earthquakes and famine. And well, we have a new one. This is a new one. I wanted to point out a new power that we have. This is some. Just in today, also from Israel. It's from another, what the hell do I put it, a fundamentalist a fundamentalist Jew. There's a word for it, a phrase for it. I don't remember what it is. Orthodox, that's it. Ultra-Orthodox, thank you. Ultra-Orthodox Jew. He says that the danger of homosexuals is very much similar to bird flu. You can't make it up. Yes, indeed, we are now just about like bird flu. Tamiflu will prevent homosexuality. I just have to wonder about that. Anyway, getting back to Huckabee, and this is Pam Spaulding. Her site today was very interesting. Several of these stories were tipped off to me by Pam Slider. She does such a good job of. Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee is refusing to drop his candidacy, is, of course, very much in favor of a constitutional amendment to the United States, to the U.S. Constitution, claiming that a fertilized egg is, in fact, a human being, a person. He has now signed up to, you see, it only takes 76,000 registered voters in California to get a petition, or to sign a petition to get something on the ballot, so... he has endorsed them and stood behind them and to get this this on the ballot to put it in the Constitution of Colorado. And what's so interesting about this is it would extend state constitutional protections to every fertilized egg, guaranteeing the right to life, liberty, and equal justice and due process of law. And Pam asked some interesting questions. Could a woman, after having sex, drive in the HOV lane? That's the high occupancy vehicle lane, which clearly she could be carrying a fertilized egg, so that would count as two people. Remember, under the law, the fertilized egg is, in fact, has every right of a person who has actually been born. One panel asked if the Highway Patrol would need to carry pregnancy testing kits to confirm that the woman was legally driving in the high occupancy vehicle lane. She's wondering if airlines can charge a woman for two seats since a fertilized egg is in fact a person. Also, Pam is wondering about claiming her fetus is a tax deduction. You know, I think a woman's body and her children are between the woman and God and her own conscience. I don't think we ought to be legislating the womb, but That is clearly not how many people feel, but it's just a personal opinion, just my personal opinion. And Florida is no better. Florida is no better than Colorado. In fact, in Florida, we have Representative Donald Brown. He introduced a bill last week in Tallahassee, right here in little old Tallahassee, where I live and breathe. The bill would be to create a Confederate Heritage license plate for the state. You see, we have so many different types of license plates. You pay a surcharge over your license fee of $25. And in fact, much of that $25 is to go to support whatever cause the license plate is promoting. We have Save the Manatee license plates. I believe we have an education license plate, I believe. There's so many different things, Florida wildlife, et cetera, et cetera. But in any case, this particular tag across the bottom says Confederate Heritage. And right slap in the middle of the license plate is the Dixie flag slash the cross, the X that the Dixie flag makes. Maybe you don't know it, but in any case, it's right there prominently on the tag. And he says it would give motorists a way to show their pride and their heritage. Except for the fact that it's terribly offensive to so many people. The $25 surcharge, by the way, in his bill would go to support the Sons of the Confederate Veterans, which considers the Civil War to be the second American Revolution. And so it looks like we're going to have Confederate Heritage flag. I grew up in Florida. I don't expect this sort of thing in Florida. I'm always looking down my nose. I expect it in Texas, looking down my nose maybe, or I expect it in Alabama or Arkansas or that part of the South. I don't really, expect that in Tallahassee and Florida. I guess Representative Donald Brown, I do not know what part of Florida, he's a Republican, by the way, but that goes without saying. I don't really know what part of Florida that Donald Brown represents. However, I'm quite sure that it is one of the districts in the rural north part of Florida. You see, Florida has a large horizontal part, which is very much like South Georgia and Alabama, and then the part that extends downward and heads south, you get more progressive. Every mile you travel down I-75 towards South Florida becomes more progressive than the mile before it, is generally the way that works. So come on down to Florida, and you can pay your $25 extra and support the Sons of the Confederate Veterans. Aren't those the ones that stage those mock wars? Like every year they'll go out to some place near here called Natural Bridge, and they fight some battle. They reenact some battle that was fought near Natural Bridge, and they have the Confederates, and they're all got their cannons out, and they all fall down and play soldier. Move on, people. Move on. That another interesting thing. The whole show is not taken from Pam's site, but she had so many wonderful things today. I can't resist telling you about some of them. One of her readers is indicating what's been going on recently at WorldNet Daily, and lists several statements that have been made and roundly applauded and approved of by the WorldNet Daily, which we call WingNut Daily. Number one. Sodomites are deserving of the death penalty. Number two, adultery in the Bible can be defined not just as sex outside of the sanctity of marriage, but also by relations outside of one's race. Can't make this stuff up. Number three, white's fear of blacks is indeed justified based on the famous color of crime thesis. Number four, only 8% of blacks can trace their lineage to slavery. Does this sound, any of this sounding familiar? Sound like a license plate you might want to buy? Number five, a white supremacist and a white separatist are not necessarily the same. Number six, you're not really a racist if you're not loud and combative. You see, since I'm loud and combative, I am a militant homosexual, but certainly not a racist. You're not loud and combative. You're not a racist. You can just believe that black folks need to just be subservient in your heart, but as long as you're not loud and combative, you're not really a racist. Oh, no, no, no. Number seven, blacks and whites shouldn't be involved interracially because blacks don't teach their children to court. Okay. First, I, of course, read this, the standard meaning of the word court, meaning, you know, there's a judge and a jury and they bang the gavel. But it means date. Oh, God, does everybody remember the word court? I'm sure you all do. You're all very bright people. You know many things. We all know way too many things, as a matter of fact. So it's just sometimes a burden. But in any case, since black folks don't teach their children to date or court, white folks should not be involved with them. I suppose the inference here is that black folks teach their children to just jump on women. The old fear of blacks raping white women and the intense jealousy that white men have of the black endowments for the arts. Put it that way. Number eight, interracial relationships can be likened to, and you can't make this up, a bird loving a fish. Yes, interracial relationships are likened to a bird loving a fish. Now, it is interesting to me that on these Wingnut Daily statements that I have made here, that only one of them is regarding LGBT folks, sodomites, are deserving of the death penalty, and the bulk of, and you would have thought this sort of incredibly knuckle-dragging, backwoods, not even close to being in the 21st century frame of reference, would be gone by now. The other references, the other seven references, all had to do with people of color. And, of course, the $25 extra Florida license plate. Well, of course, there's no relationship between these two. If you're driving around with your Confederate heritage license plate, you're simply proud of your heritage. That's a fact. According to what I'm reading here, that is a fact. And, of course, if your little girl opens pornography addressed to you, Daddy, you didn't give them your name. They just pulled it from the Betty Crocker mailing list, I'm quite sure. I really need to write down a list of, you know, I'm not the sort of person that really, you know, my language can get colorful, but I try not to have a list of derogatory things to say, but I'm going to have to make myself a little list of derogatory things, you know, ones that are safe, that are... there's knuckle dragging, Bob points out mouth breathing. I have to write myself a safe list because I often go places where I shouldn't go in the form of language, but I certainly don't order sex DVDs in my mailbox. In my 54 years, I have never received an unsolicited, and you just, you know, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Why are you guys sending this to straight men with little girls? Guess I'm not on the same list that you are. Could that be it? Do you think? We've got Texas Governor Rick Perry, who, of course, loves to emphasize the word sex and the word homosexual. He has recently stated that scouting ought to be about building character, not about sex. He's talking about the Boy Scouts, of course. And that he's saying that precious few parents, enroll their boys in the Scouts to get a crash course in sexual orientation. The interviewer says, well, why do you think a homosexual would be more than likely to bring the subject of sex into a conversation than a heterosexual? And Perry says, well, the ban in Scouting applies to Scout leaders. And when you have a clearly open homosexual Scout leader, the Scouts are going to talk about it. And they're not there to learn about that. They're there to learn about what it means to be a loyal and trustworthy and thrifty person. interviewer. But don't you think that, that homosexuals might also be interested in being loyal and thrifty? The Texas governor replies, "The argument that gets made is that homosexuality is about sex. Do you agree?" he asks the interviewer. Well, the interviewer says, "Well, no, I don't agree that, that homosexuality is about sex." And Perry says, this leaves me incredulous. Perry says, well then, why don't they call it something else? How many words could you think of, folks? GLBT might be one of them. Why don't they call it something else? Why don't you call it something else, you brain dead son of a bitch? But well then, well, there goes my language. But then again, the Texas governor, Rick Perry, is not even close to the same orbit that you and I, dear listeners, are in. And this one I'm going to have to stumble through because it is gutter humor as represented by the GOP, the Grand Ole Party. There is a new 527. Do you remember the Swift voters and what they did last? Well, there's a new 527, and it calls itself C period U period M period T period. That's their abbreviation. I don't think that any of us need to have that word said on the air. But the CUNT is actually Citizens United, Not Timid. And, of course, this is an anti-Hillary 527. Their symbol is a large envelope drawn specifically to appear as a G-string with a small triangular blue patch over a woman's private area, which, of course, they're calling the with a star over it. And it is supposed to indicate that it's Hillary standing naked with a blue patch covering herself with a star on it. Citizens United Against United Not Timid is a 527 organization to educate the family and the public about what Hillary Clinton really is. Not who, but what. Do you think that what they are saying she is a C-U-N-T? Well, of course that's what they're saying. You see, the only reason this 527 exists is not to run advertising. It's not to sign petitions. It is not to get the voters out. It is strictly to sell T-shirts. Yes, these T-shirts are going to be sold for $25 a piece on their 527 web, their 527, it's a political, you know, organization. You can run political ads. They're not going to be making robocalls. They're just going to charge $25 a piece for these T-shirts that say Citizens United Not Timid with the letters C-U-N-T very large and a picture of a woman who's covering herself with a G-string with a blue triangle and what Hillary Clinton really is. They're saying that the T-shirt sales will further serve as a billboard education. Isn't that amazing? The more people that go to the site, the more people that'll buy the T-shirts, he explained. And the more people that'll buy the T-shirts, the more people will wear the T-shirts. He's actually saying this. The more people that wear the T-shirts, the more people are educated. Yeah, that's it. I despise the slime that these slugs swim across. The more people are educated, consequently, our mission will never be achieved until we get these out everywhere. They say, too, that the acronym or the abbreviation is not a one-word education. They deny the implications of this shirt. It is, of course, quite clear to even the casual viewer what it's about. But that is what the 527s are. And by the way, the right is foaming at the mouth to have Clinton run. You know, as Bob has been telling us, it's all true. They've been planning to fight Hillary for years. They have so much arsenal and ready to run advertising. You know, if for that reason alone... Oh, by the way, our friend Denny will be joining us Friday evening, and Denny is, of course, with American Veterans for Equal Rights and has joined us a couple of times in the past. Now, Denny will not be representing the American Veterans for Equal Rights this Friday. He'll be representing only himself, which is, of course, when he's speaking from his own heart, that's how he has to do that. But we'll be talking about Obama, and he has some things to say about Obama and Hillary. That should be interesting from a LGBT point of view, and also as a veteran point of view, and also as a gay veteran point of view about this country. So I'm looking forward to having Denny. That will be Friday night, his book. And by the way, Thursday night we have a new DJ a new music guest will be on the show. And he hails from Seattle, and his name is Rick Ashman. And he'll be joining us Thursday night. All sorts of interesting people. And we have the trans youth representative who will be meeting with us next week on the show. Just never know who's going to pop up on this show. Always an education, even to myself. And I see we're near the top of the hour, and we should probably run the other track now. We do have a Gay Bar Across the Street section for the last half hour, but we'll take a top of the hour break. That's a good idea, Bob, and we'll use the track by Eduardo Zoll called I'll Be There For You.
we're back.
Dear Gospel, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, spreading freedom from coast to coast. I have some new words. Thank you, Bob. Production has given me some new words for the Citizens United Not Timid, and some new words for the people who are buying the Confederate license plates in Florida. They are knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, snake-handling, strychnine-drinking, floor-rolling, tongue-speaking, knuckle... Thank you, Bob. I really need to write that list down. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877-443-2366. You could also reach us with a toll line in West Virginia. That's area code 304-658-3333. Email arrives to Peter at Head On Radio Network, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. I neglected to do that during the last break, but I'll have to get to that shortly. And you're certainly welcome to call in and talk with us about what's on your mind. If you'll recall, a few weeks ago, we did a story about a Baptist church in Fort Worth. Now, this is also a topic near and dear to my heart, much like the Bush Library is something I regularly run around. You've probably heard me say on the show, we here at the little Methodist church that I go to in just down the dirt road, and it's a wooden church. It's built in the 1800s. It's on the historic register. It's just an old, old church, okay? Nothing fancy. And in any case, we do a church directory every few years, and the husbands and wives sit next to each other, and the kids on either side, and so our pictures are all in the church directory, and so we did it a few years ago. I marched down there, myself and Doggy. Yes, indeed, we did. Doggy had a brand new collar for the occasion, and she was freshly washed, and she was sparkling. She's a golden retriever. She's a big old sparkling golden retriever. I love her very much. And we marched right in there, and we sat down, and when it was time for our pictures, I had my picture taken with Doggy. And, it was no big deal. I mean, everybody knows at the church, we're all very eccentric out here. We're strange people. One of the men was carrying his wife in the photograph, actually holding her as in the bride's position of carrying the bride across the doorway, holding her like that, up in the air. And they were in the church directory. And then, of course, there are your standard, more conventional pictures of standard families. But yes, we are all a bit eccentric out here. We don't really beat up on each other. We all know that we're a little strange out this way. But there's absolutely no controversy about myself and Doggy being in the church directory. And in fact, I was given two phone numbers. They listed me as my regular home phone, and also that Doggy could be reached at 893-BONE, is what he put. But in any case, in Fort Worth, the Broadway Baptist Church in Fort Worth is not nearly as accommodating regarding their church directory. They are about to publish their 125th anniversary church directory. They're going to be publishing that without individual or family portraits. Why, you might ask? Shudder, no family portraits above the names and address, just a pure text-based church directory? Why, you may ask? Well, it was because several gay couples wanted to have their pictures in the church directory, too. We actually live in a country, dear listeners, where I can march down to my church and have my photograph taken with Doggy, but LGBT couples are not allowed to sit in a picture. But by the way, the caption of the picture, this is a homosexual, this is a lesbian couple. No, it's just, your name, your address. It's handed out amongst the church members so you can find someone handily, if you need to let someone know that Aunt Bessie died, or if you want to send them a Christmas card, or any number of reasons, it's important to be able to get in touch with the folks that go to the same church you do. It's like a club directory. If you go to a particular club, Lions Club, I'm sure they have a directory also, which is not, of course, to upset anyone by equating the Lions Club to the church, but I think you understand my point. This was a compromise. You know, these compromises always hurt the entire group. You know, we've got to stop with this compromise mess. The church deacon board approved it, and they approved it by. You see, this has been 6-8 weeks discussions and meetings at night, and factions talking about whether the church would be appearing to promote homosexuality should they let two women sit next to it. I'm not talking about two women and two men kissing. I'm talking about sitting next to each other with the same address. They are saying that it's been a difficult decision for their congregation. This is one of the members of the Board of Deacons. She's saying, we believe we've approached it the best possible way. The best possible way, of course, being to take everyone's picture out rather than to risk the public humiliation and embarrassment of having an LGBT couple. I wonder how I would fare with Doggy were I a member of the Broadway Baptist Church in Fort Worth. What do you bet that there would be grins and smiles and hi, Peter, and hi, Doggy, and patting Doggy on the head, and that Doggy and I would just walk right up there, sit right down, and they would take our picture. I can practically guarantee it. You know, Doggy and I are a known quantity out here. I go everywhere with her. She's always, you know, riding shotgun in the South. Our doggies ride shotgun. That's what they do. There were roughly 500 members of the Broadway Baptist Church attending the meeting. Now, they narrowly rejected the proposal. Here's one of the proposals that they didn't actually. They were going to publish two directories, one with the family portraits and another without, so that you could choose whether you wanted to have a picture of two homosexuals sitting next to each other. Why do these... You know, I wanted to scream, why do these people go to these churches? But I already know the answer to that. It's the same reason I go to the one I go to. Not that it's particularly homophobic relative to other churches, but because I've gone there since I was a little boy. Maybe I'm just comfortable there. Maybe these folks are just comfortable there. But the church folk are not comfortable having... They're comfortable enough to have these partners sit in the pews together. They're personal. They're comfortable enough to let them drop their joint bank account checks into the offering plate as it goes by. But oh my God, we do not want any documentation of this. No, no, we cannot have this published in any way. People might see it as our approval. The controversy came up last October, you see. There were three gay couples, just three. Now, it says gay couples rather than LGBT couples, so it may have been three male-male couples. I don't know if any women were involved. They went in, and they were going to have their portrait. When the photographer comes, you know, it's scheduled, and everybody has a time of day you're supposed to show up, so everybody doesn't show up at once, and you know, have the photographer out from Olin Mills or whoever the church contracts with. And they signed up to have their portraits appear in the yearbook, just like everybody else. But the church worried that it was an endorsement and that children would see it. God forbid the children see them in church, but we do not want them on a page in a church directory. Oh, no. So there was another proposal approved Sunday, and they're going to identify people by their name and address and what they're thinking about doing now. Their article is a little confusing because they're saying they approved two different things here. One is the text only. The other is the text only with group pictures. In other words, no family pictures of any sort, but groups of like 6 or 8 people that go to the church. And there would be bunches of pictures of groups of people. Now, you see, you could have 3 or 4 men standing together, two of which may be deeply in love, but God forbid that you just have two standing there. I'm sorry, this sort of thing breaks my heart. It's broken my heart all my life. I've lived with it all my life, as the rest of the LGBT folks who listen to this program have lived with it all of theirs. What was that list, Bob? Knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, snake-handling, strychnine-drinking. And, of course, this is in Texas, where George Bush plans to plant his... I can't use that word. Plans to put that library and think tank to rewrite the history of the Bush administration. I believe it was Bob who pointed out the other evening that one of the first things in the agenda of the think tank will be to say that the war in Iraq was only because the Democrats voted for it and insisted that he do it. Was the only reason we're involved there. Yes, that will be, I agree with you, Bob, one of the very first things that they do. By the way, the vote for leaving the vote for having the candid pictures, in other words, small groups or large groups of pictures, but no family photographs or portraits, that vote, it cleared 294 people to 182 people was the vote. It says we're going to identify the people by name and we'll make every effort to include everyone in the directory. We just won't photograph you together. It's been a very difficult decision for our congregation. It is said, we prayerfully searched for God's leading of our church, and that's if they came to understand God's leading correctly, God would like us to be in group photographs only. Now, yeah, I have to admire the pastor of the church. There was a sermon by the pastor, Brent Younger. He asked the parishioners to look into the eyes of other people and question what they see and what they react to. In other words, in fact, this is the actual quote, if we look into the eyes of a gay Christian, we may have to rethink some of our opinions, Pastor Brent Younger said. And in fact, Pastor Brent Younger is correct, which is what all the uproar is about. Nobody wants to rethink. You see, rethinking things takes work, actual mental thought processes. It burns calories. No, they want it just the way it's always been, where the homosexuals know their place in the society, and they stay home in their closets, and they're good little homosexuals, and they don't go out in public, and they just stay home, and they don't cause any uproar. And God forbid, as Pastor Brent Younger put it, that we look into the eyes of our gay Christian brothers and sisters, and that we may have to rethink some of our opinions. Nobody's going back in the closet, people. In fact, I'm so far out of the closet, I couldn't find my way back even if I left a trail of breadcrumbs. All of us are. All of us who are involved in standing up and saying who we are, and even those who don't stand up in the way that you think of activists. And by the way, I'm not an activist. I'm the only guy that was crazy enough to do this. Okay, I don't have an activist license. I did not study in the Homosexual Agenda Institute. No, I'm just a guy on a dirt road in the South that was crazy enough to do this. But I'm not going back. I don't think any of our listeners are going back. And they're always saying, why do you throw this in our faces? Why do you want to throw this in our faces? Well, gee, we'd rather not. If you would live and let live, if you actually practice the teachings of Christ, why do you throw it in our faces? Why do you kill us in alleys, one might ask. Some church members, because Pastor Brent Younger said this, some of the church members have sought to fire Pastor Younger. They were extremely upset about his remark of looking into the eyes of a gay Christian. You see, the term gay Christian is probably what upset them so much, because it's part of their doctrine that, in fact, the word gay and Christian cannot occur in the same sentence, much less next to each other. The board has voted that the congregation needs to undergo remediation and reconciliation. Gee, do you think? You know, just something like a church directory tearing apart a church. It's, and then you've got the Anglican church totally melting down over the gay bishop. And you've got the Pope saying we are a threat to world peace. Well, gee, until you include everybody when you say everybody, until we're all included, I guess, yeah, we are a threat to world peace. Do you think? In any case, Sunday's vote at the church represented weeks and weeks of deliberation, including many presentations and PowerPoint presentations and studies of what the Bible says about homosexuality and how the scriptures could be interpreted, and interpreting it this way, interpreting that way, in-depth looks by, it looks at the scriptures. Mr. Younger also upset them very badly, at least the ones that want to fire him, by saying, and again I have to admire Pastor Younger, he said, "We don't get to decide what kind of church we want to be. We have to become the church Jesus called us to be." And oh, how they fight against it. Oh, how they fight against what Jesus called them to be. There was also a proposal to publish a second directory based on the 2002 format, which had everybody in it as couples. That failed. And there was a couple, a heterosexual couple. She said that she and her husband did not want their picture in the directory that did not include everyone in the church and the family to which they belong. You know, this brings tears to my eyes. Just because people are in the Southern Baptist Church does not mean what we commonly associate with it. Although, from the higher-ups, as they are represented from their leaders, indeed, they all hate us. But we have a pastor saying, look into the eyes of another gay Christian. We have Anita and her husband saying they did not want to be in a directory that did not include everyone in the church and to the family in which they belong. Got to admire people like that. And they're standing up, too. We're fighting it one pulpit at a time. One pulpit at a time. You know, it's probably different for you folks who live in the Northeast and the West Coast and the liberal, more progressive parts of the country. Not entirely. We've talked about Massachusetts having the right to marry, yet Massachusetts is their right-wing groups are springing up there, putting out their flyers and their screaming websites about all the damage we're doing. And you know, it'll be years before this finally goes away. It's like, I'm wondering if this whole LGBT as good as you and as bad as you. By the way, I always like to point that out. We have people who say, we're as good as you. Well, yeah, we are, but we're also as bad as you. Yes, there are LGBT folks who do terrible things, just like you straight folks. Nobody has any corner on the market for being good, but you have to wonder, you know, if it's going to cause another civil war. I mean, you can almost see that this is as big as the fact that we fought a civil war. You know, over allowing black folks to be part of society, and it's still being fought under the table. I mean, now it's everything's, you know, up and up. But then we have the World Wing Nut Daily, the World Nut Daily, saying that that it should be considered. That sleeping with someone who is not your partner being adultery also extends to sleeping with someone who is not of your race. This many years later, we still have that in the conversation, in the national conversation. It's hard to believe. You know, I can't imagine another war within the country. Of course, what with the internet and I don't know. It's hard to. There's half the things that go on in this country I have a hard time believing. But oh yes, we are a threat to world peace. And then soon as you people get over the fact that we are also breathing air on this planet, the sooner we will no longer be a threat to world peace. And I don't mean I'm threatening world peace. I mean you're threatening world peace by fighting us. Anyway, let's talk about another country. Just very briefly, we're going to head over to the gay bar across the street in a few minutes. We did a report on this show a while back regarding the Egyptian police who have been arresting men for having HIV. They have widened the HIV arrests. The recent crackdown says they have at least 12 people locked up. Men are arrested in Egypt as being HIV positive. They're chained to hospital beds, forced to go forced tests for the virus. They are violating the very basic civil rights of people who are living with HIV. You see, the police there believe that it is not a virus, it is not an infection that can be treated with drugs, it is a crime to have HIV. And nobody's fighting it. The men have been beaten for refusing to sign statements saying that they had HIV or that they were homosexual. They've been subject to anal exams to prove that they have engaged in homosexual contacts. And by the way, these anal exams are nothing short of torture. They're taking their wallets and the photographs in their wallets and arresting people who these men know. There were more arrests made last November. Just because some, you'll remember this from the story we had a few weeks ago. They arrested a bunch of men who lived, a group of men, a bunch, I don't know, four, five, six, I don't know. They were sharing an apartment. They arrested those men and then did surveillance outside the apartment. And when new renters took the apartment, they arrested the new renters. For crying out loud, you can be arrested in Egypt for having HIV just by moving to the apartment that they just arrested someone out of. It's a case that clearly demonstrates the Egyptian police are acting on a belief, a very dangerous belief, that HIV is not a condition to be treated. It is a crime to be punished. Don't make this stuff up. I really don't. Even if the network paid me twice as much, I would still be telling you the same news. Oh, my. Tell you what. Need to run the dance floor across the street. We have a wonderful, wonderful segment tonight. It's brought to us by DJ Jerry Bonham. Now, Jerry Bonham is also a worldwide and well-known DJ. He is featured in various reviews and Hero DJ site. You can find him easily. His website, by the way, is jerrybonham.com. That's B-O-N-H-A-M. He played at the Trocadero, and we are so pleased to have him as part of our rotating list of gay bar across the street DJs. So as we gather up our umbrellas and our sensibility and our courage, if you're LGBT, it does take a little bit of courage. We are going to venture out across the street. And so as we enter the gay bar across the street.
Across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors.
And we're back, and many thanks to Mr. Jerry Bonham for that incredible mix we just heard. That's Jerry Bonham at jerrybonham.com. That's B-O-N-H-A-M-J-E-R-R-Y, bonham.com. You can find the music there. He is truly an astounding DJ. Also, thanks to our dear friend Larry Sanders for the go-to-break tracks tonight, which were exceptional in every way. Always enjoy running Larry's tracks. Tomorrow's DJ across the street in the gay bar will be Hank. You have not met Hank. Hank will be, I'm hoping to get Hank on the show within the next month or so. But nonetheless, we'll be running his music. Now, Hank, his name is Hank Steinhauer, is in Miami. So, in fact, you'll be hearing some of his music. And I can inform Bob that now there's, you know, we won't be able to run all of the mixes tomorrow night, but I can guarantee you, ELO, and I can guarantee you, Bob, that Funky Town is embedded somewhere in these mixes. And which is always a favorite. And I don't know if we'll have that tomorrow night, but we've got a DJ that sent us Funky Town embedded in the mix. Now, if you're listening, we've talked about that for a while. It's sort of a... So we talk about many odd things here, but one of the things we have discussed is Funky Town and a DJ mix. So thank you so much for putting Funky Town embedded in one of your mixes. And if it doesn't, we'll run the next time you're on, which we'll be scheduling you regularly, Hank. That's Hank Steinhauer down in Miami, Florida. And Hank is a wonderful guy, one of the nicest people I have ever met. He and his wife live in Miami. And I need to let you know that there will be a horn section this evening. The horn section will be starting at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be myself and Mr. Bob Kincaid from a secret undisclosed location somewhere in West Virginia, and I from a secret undisclosed location on a dirt road in the rural South. You know, the Academy Awards, having run the other evening, brings to mind, you know, they get up on the stage, and I want to thank Mommy, and I want to thank Daddy, I want to thank the producers. You know, I often do not take the time, or I forget to take the time, to thank the people who assist in making this show possible. That would be our chat moderators. Without them, we could not do this show. And also to our news ninjas, who are in constant pursuit of news articles and emailing us the links so that we can help pull together a show like this. They help with all of the shows. And also, in addition to the news ninjas, the regular guests on this show. And so thank you to you all. And I believe we're just about wrapping things up shortly. If I'm not mistaken, I better get out of the room. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.
Ask any musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn. America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section. Right here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Now let's crank up the jam. Here's Bob Kincaid.
A minute past 11 p.m. here on the East Coast, so that must mean it's time for the Horn Section. And you would be correct, it is. I'm Bob.